Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. My guest today is Justin Patrickoff. Justin is an experiential marketing individual from Wall Grooming. And so Wall Grooming, we're talking about the company that makes clippers and groomers and shavers and all that good stuff. So he drove a 20-foot trailer and professional barbers and beard groomers down to Ocean Springs for the Red, White, and Blueberry Festival happening on the 5th of June. And so this festival basically is used to highlight the start of the blueberry season, and you can get ice cream with free blueberries and strawberries in. But also, so Wall came down because this individual in Ocean Springs, Jonathan Brannon, won an epic beard contest and $20,000, which he used to complete the adoption for their latest child, who came in April. Now, so at the Blueberry Festival, you can show up to the Wall trailer and you can get a free beard or mustache trim. And for each trim that you get, $100 will go to the 1720 Foundation, which is a foundation that's used to cover unexpected costs of adoption. Justin and I have a great, great podcast. Now, honestly, this is not a sponsored show from Wall. Wall is a great company, though. I use their products. And so we talk about the company. We talk about, you know, what the company does and kind of their impact. We talk about some of the marketing as well, and really just the kind of culture of beards that has kind of grown in the last, I don't know, 20 some odd years. So it's been a fantastic conversation. It's a short podcast, but I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Everybody, please welcome Justin Patrickoff. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. I'm here with my guest today, Justin Patrickoff.
Correct.
All right. How are you, buddy?
Great. Great to be here in Ocean Springs.
Good, good. And where are you coming down from?
So I'm down here from Cleveland, Ohio.
Excellent.
Made the big 16-hour trip down here.
How was it?
It was rainy. Yeah. I won't lie to you.
Yeah. How is it pulling a big big 20-foot trailer in that 16-hour drive?
Well, luckily I got a Ford F-350, so it's nice and smooth. Yeah. Pulls just fine.
Yeah.
But a lot of weather here coming in Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
We're here for the Red, White, and Blueberry Festival.
That's
so
right.
I'm hoping the rain stays away tomorrow on Saturday.
Okay, so when you say we,
yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, so I'm here representing Wall Grooming, Wall Trimmers. For all you guys out there, I'm sure you know Wall. If you have a beard or a mustache,
yeah,
or you get your hair cut, they make the barber tools, they make at-home tools.
I've got a couple
for you to trim
myself,
your hair.
Yeah.
That's right, that's right. So a really cool reason why we're out here in Ocean Springs. We've been doing a promotional tour for the last 15 years where we set up a big 20-foot mobile barber shop. We have a team of master barbers out there.
Yeah.
We typically offer free beard and mustache grooming. But when COVID hit, we weren't able to do our tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically at our tour, we had something called the Man of the Year contest. And so we were snapping pictures of guys on site with great beards, great mustaches, to win a national contest, to win some prize money and some great wall tools. But, you know, with COVID, the next best thing that we could think of was to create kind of an online contest. And so guys, we called it the World's Most Talented Beard Contest. And guys were submitting all sorts of videos to showcase their talents and their great beards. And wouldn't you know it, our big $20,000 prize winner, Jonathan Brannon, lives right here in Ocean Springs.
Okay.
So in celebration of that fact, we brought our 20-foot mobile barbershop to the Red, White, and Blueberry Festival coming up tomorrow.
So 20 grand for this epic, epic beard.
That's okay. Right. And not only that, it was kind of like show your talent on this video.
Okay.
And Jonathan was kind of the do-it-all dad. He was showcasing everything he had to do throughout the day and take care of his kids. And, you know, one really, really cool thing about Jonathan is he was kind of going through this adoption process.
Mm-hmm.
And he used his prize money to complete his adoption for his son that arrived to the family back in April. So wow. Just all around really cool story. We'll be out there this weekend, and we'll be offering free beard and mustache grooming here in Ocean Springs. And for every free trim we do, Wall's donating $100 to the 1720 Foundation, which is a charity that helps families cover unexpected costs of adoption. So it's all going to a great cause. And Jonathan's story, I just met him today, just such a super nice guy. I got to come down to Ocean Springs and hang out with them and hang out with you guys. So, man, what a great time. What a cool town.
Yeah. What'd you think coming into the town?
I was excited. I mean, of course, when I first Googled it on the map, didn't know where it was, but saw it was on the coast. I was so excited to come down and check it out, and had the opportunity to go downtown and had some Murky Waters barbecue.
There you go. Attaboy.
And, you know, just trying to enjoy some of the local flavor.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of it. I mean, the area was kind of explored by the Spanish and the French. And, you know, if you think about, like, food around here, right, it's all trash food. I'm saying it as a local, right? Right. But seriously, think about it. Like, it's first of all, when they first landed here, there was no beach. This is all man-made beach. So it was all very much like just kind of bayou type water. So they had to tread their way into this area, right? Cut down trees, make their own path. And oh, by the way, there's gators, there's water moccasins, there's brown recluse, black widows. There's brown widows. Did you know brown widows are a thing?
I did not know brown widows.
So like all this stuff that's there to kill you. And oh, by the way, the bugs can be horrendous. And what they found to eat are like bottom feeding things, oysters, shrimp, mullet, all these fish that just eat the dead decaying things on the ground. They somehow find a way to make it delicious. You know, it's kind of like the most unlikely story, but
you got to include crawfish in there too.
Oh
right?
yeah. Crawfish. Absolutely. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to test out some of the things I can't get in Ohio, you know, so I had a little crawfish, you know, I had some good barbecue. Man, what a great place to indulge, that's for sure.
Yeah, so when I lived out in California, I lived out there for 6 years. I went to a place called Isleton, California, and I want to have crawfish, right? And they don't have southern crawfish out here. So had some family send me some Louisiana seasoning. And then I went, the only place I could find crawfish was a bait shop. So I went and bought 50 pounds of crawfish, and this old lady was like, "What do you need 50 pounds of bait for?" And I was like, "Well, I'm gonna eat it." She's like, "You're gonna eat the bait?" It's like, "Yeah, I mean, I know you don't get it." but
that's funny. Yeah, I lived in Dallas for a period of time, and I remember, you know, I was like, "This is a lot of work here for a little bit of meat."
Yeah,
and then the funniest part was she's like, "You gotta suck the head."
Yes,
I'm like, "That's the thing. What do you mean?" So you got to take the entire, I guess, would be the thorax of the body.
And, yeah. You don't have to call it that. You can just say head.
Suck the head and get all the seasoning and the flavors out of it.
And
I'll be darned, it was good.
It was good. Yeah. Most certainly. Have you had any crawfish since you've been down?
I had a little crawfish pasta dish.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Went to, I can't remember the name of the restaurant today, with some of the people from the from the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yeah.
New place in Ocean Springs, but delicious pasta dish.
Yeah.
And the best part was all of a sudden when I was eating it, there was a biscuit underneath. So
ah, nice.
You guys like your biscuits down here, don't you?
Yeah. Most things that are probably aren't the best for us, we typically indulge in. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. So Ocean Springs is kind of an award-winning, well, it certainly is an award-winning downtown area. Have you spent much time in like small southern towns in the Southeast?
You know, we have not. Mm-hmm. You know, typically for these tours that we do with Wall, we're going to bigger cities, which sometimes driving the trailer into San Francisco or LA or Chicago is interesting. So it's always nice to come out and see a smaller town.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I was setting up the trailer today, and everybody knew each other. Everybody knew the bigger videographer that was coming out. They all already knew Jonathan, and just kind of made it a real family atmosphere, you know, which I'm not used to in doing these events.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
I imagine driving through San Francisco with a 20-foot truck is not easy, especially going up and down those hills. For those in Mississippi who don't know, they are very steep roads in San Francisco.
I didn't have to plan out my drive as much as I do going in through Manhattan or San Francisco, that's for sure. So, yeah. I mean, you really got to look at the Google Maps. You got to see exactly where you're going, because, you know, you just can't turn around pretty easily and driving a 40-foot vehicle.
Yeah, first time I drove through San Francisco, I did it in a manual, and I wish I had 3 feet. Because I basically had to hold the clutch, hold the brake, and then, like, you know, have my heel on the brake and slowly press on the gas to not roll backwards into somebody. It was certainly an experience. But
driving, we did an event in Manhattan in 2019, and I think I was through the Lincoln Tunnel about 4 o'clock in the morning to avoid the traffic, even though our event didn't start till 10 o'clock.
Okay,
because I had to get into position. I think I actually had to make a U-turn on Broadway and back in. So
with a 20-foot trailer
and all that needs to be done at the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, or they just need to helicopter drop that thing in there, because I imagine driving in Manhattan
now, if they can invent something like that, that would make my job a lot easier.
For sure. So Justin, tell me about Wahl.
Yeah, you know, Wahl's is an incredible company. Fourth generation, family owned, based out of Sterling, Illinois. They've been there for over 100 years now. And I've got the opportunity to meet a lot of the family members, and just such a nice group of people. You know, while they started out by making the motors for massagers way back in 1919.
Okay.
And one of the Wahl family members had some problems with his back, and so they created this motor to run in a massager to help his back, which in turn eventually got put into a hair clipper.
Yeah.
And so they have a really cool history. They've actually got a little museum at the headquarters you can kind of check out. And yeah, so they make, you know, if you go to a barbershop or you've trimmed your beard at home, chances are you've used a Wahl trimmer or a Wahl clipper or some sort of a Wahl product. And so we're typically out there kind of just educating guys on how to best trim their own facial hair at our events. Mm-hmm. We have our master barbers out there, and as I mentioned, we're doing free trims, but really more than just a free trim, it's kind of a whole education on how to kind of maintain your style. Sometimes guys are a little scared to trim in the mirror at home. Maybe they're afraid they'll nick themselves or it'll be uneven. But I mean, the great thing is the Wahl has a lot of cool tools, some great guards you put on there, so you have a nice even trim. So it's great for the guys to get out there, talk to the barbers, get some tips,
and then
go and define their style at home.
Yeah. Now I've noticed that this has been kind of an explosion within this industry to get into the sort of man self care sort of thing, you know, with the facial hair and whatnot. What do you think's driving that?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of it is Hollywood and sports. I mean, you know, it seems like a couple years ago, these handlebar mustaches just showed up all over the place, right? And then a few years before that, there's big beards, which that's just stuck. I mean, there's big beards everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, 10, 15 years ago when I first started doing this tour, you wouldn't find any big beards out there.
Yeah.
But that's definitely become the style. And I think, you know, sports and Hollywood and fashion is always driving that.
Sure.
So
you've got your Dan Bilzerians, you've got your Ezekiel Elliott, he's got a great beard. And of course, the beard, James Harden.
James Harden, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, these the kids out there want to be these guys and they want to look like them. So, I mean, it's it definitely, you're right. The big beards have really come on. And then with that, you know, it seems like these the wet good products have been really popular these days. A lot of guys using beard softeners and balms, and, you know, not just having a big beard, but you got to style it too, right? You got to keep it trimmed up in a certain way. And I think the real cool thing is that it seems like the workplace has accepted more of these facial hairstyles than they have in the past, as long as they're groomed up nicely. So,
look, I think there's one more element, and I think it has to do with special operators in the military, because that seems to be, you know, special operators in the military have always been kind of this sort of enigma that people are very curious about, because they do these very precise operations that are high level and high visibility, and they're just cool, rad people, right? They're the best of the best. They all have beards. They don't have to conform to your regular, always being shaved, you know, type of things. And that's caused, I can tell you internally from being in the military, a huge desire to have beards. In fact, there's a group, a large Facebook group, trying to push that for the Air Force. And of course, there's other branches. But you know the reason, the main reason why they won't allow people to have beards in the military?
No. What is the main reason?
Gas masks.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right,
so they're worried right. about the seal of a gas mask. And so whenever, so there's, there were treaties signed, and the big one was signed by most First World nations, but the countries that were left out of it were China and North Korea, and I think Iran as well. And so those three countries didn't sign into not using chemical weapons in war. And so that's why we constantly still have to have that sort of readiness posture to have, you know, no beards. Ironically, the people that are engaging in the most conflicts, the special operators, they're allowed to have beards. But it has more to do with blending in on the ground with, you know, the enemies we fight. So.
Right, right.
But yeah.
And so has facial hair, aside from that group of people, has it started to come into the military a little bit more?
Well, so they've relaxed beard standards for things like, it's been easier to get like a religious exemption.
Okay.
It's been laxed on who can get a beard waiver, because some people they can't shave every day because, you know, it affects their skin. I think folliculitis, I think, is the
right
is the issue, and so they've eased that a bit. But it's still one of those things where even if you have a beard, it can't be longer than a quarter inch in length, and you know, things of that nature.
Right.
So,
right.
And of course, you can get a religious exemption to that. But yeah, right. It's very interesting to me, because it does seem like the sort of taking care of hair seems to be conventionally a feminine thing to do. And so for men to do this, it seems like the marketing is trying to make men comfortable with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it seems like all the marketing is very joking in a way. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys, you know, it's just all about kind of defining their style, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they want to look good, and now that these beards or these mustache handlebars have been more accepted, I think they just want it to look good, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the hair on their head, or what I used to have here. But but yeah, I mean, you know, and it's great, I think, too, that there is so many products available these days that you can style your beard or moisturize your beard, things that you probably would never even thought of before. But I'll tell you from experience of being at these events, I mean, when guys do use these products, their beards look so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, they're shinier, they're fluffier, they look nice, you know? So,
well, I'll tell you, I don't know the first thing about maintaining my beard other than just kind of comb it in the morning, and that's about it. If it gets a little scraggly, I'll take my wall trimmer, and then I'll put a guard on, and I'll manage it that way. But as far as like what you call wet care,
the wet goods, yeah,
wet goods,
your typical beard softeners, beard conditioners, beard balms that you would want to style your beard, beard oils to make it, you know, shiny, shampoos, things of those natures. We actually have some samples we'll be giving out of beard washes and beard softeners at the event too, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so what brought you to Wall as an individual? What attracted you to the company?
I was working. I've been in the event business for a long time, and a friend of mine that I had worked with on some other accounts had told me that they were looking for a company to take this experiential marketing, this mobile tour on the road, and I thought it would be a great fit for me. And sure enough, 15 years later, I'm still working with Wall. So it's just a really fun job, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I get to see every place. I get to meet cool people at the events, do a lot of media, and it's just, I can't think of a more fun job to get out there and and spread the word about Wall. So it's just been a great fit.
And what you're doing too has to be. I mean, you've got a beard, so you're doing something that obviously affects you as well. And your guy, right? So like you know, you're able to help other men out as well. I mean, so that's got to be pretty rewarding. And I would imagine kind of bro-y.
It is. And I mean, especially when you get some really significant change at our events. I mean, there's been some guys, especially a lot of older guys, that it seems like they've been kind of hiding their face for a long time with these really long beards. And so they'll come out and see one of our master barbers, and you know, it might take a good 10 minutes to get them cleaned up. But man, when they do, I think they surprise themselves when they turn around and look in the mirror about how great they look, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, like I said, especially a lot of these older guys that I've seen for whatever reason seem to hide their face. And I think they're so happy after they get out of that barber chair and see what they can look like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely something that I can appreciate, you know, and I imagine too, there's some men that just kind of have it growing out and being able to kind of chisel it out to the contours of their face, and they can look, you know, much more dignified, and there's strength in that image too, because of the angles that you can put in the beard too.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, you know, if you're a professional and if you're working, you know, somewhere on Wall Street, you know, maybe a short beard, that's, you know, that's around your chin line might work for you. But then again, you know, if you're a rugged type guy, you know, if you're a mountain climber, or, you know, you're living that Colorado life, you want to have that big beard, which seems to be in style. So, you know, it's just there's something for everyone. But I think ultimately it's just whatever you're most comfortable with, you know?
Yeah. What's a good line? Because when I got out of the military and I started to grow my beard out, it was one of those things, like, I don't know where to trim this thing. So I'm just going to take a guess here. Is there like kind of a typical points you want to kind of shave?
I mean, what we typically tell guys is to start with your chin line, you know.
Okay.
So you just kind of you know, take the trimmer and kind of ease down and follow your chin line, and then just kind of start like playing with it, you know, playing with the lengths. I mean, you start long, right? You put that 5 or that 6 on there, and then if you want it shorter, you know, put the 2 or 3 on there, but start playing around with it. And, you know, the great thing is it always grows back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So who's your top 5 beards?
Top 5 beards.
Top 5 beards, yeah.
You mean in terms of like celebrities out there?
Yeah.
Man, well, I'll tell you what. I mean,
I'll put you on the spot.
I mean, Jonathan had a phenomenal beard today. I mean, he's
top 5 then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. He's going to get a trim tomorrow, but I mean, when he showed up, I mean, that was a good beard. I'm trying to think.
So,
you know,
so
I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's got a good one. You know, we were talking about James Harden. I mean, it's hard to beat. The thing about those beards, James Harden's beard, it's not really styled. You know, it's like sometimes he has a style, but a lot of times maybe when he's in season, he's getting a little bit lazier. But it just looks like a big beard is just growing, you
right
know?
Right.
But I think in the off season maybe he has time to trim it up a little bit better.
Yeah, I think like LeBron James has that really thick kind of beard on the bottom that honestly reminds me of, it's basically a modern Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, he's letting that that chin grow, you know. He's letting that grow. I kind of liked it when he had it more trimmed up a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Of course, I'm from Cleveland, so that was a big moment in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. So he basically put them on the map there, and of course the Indians won, so that was fantastic for y'all. So
the Indians they almost got there. The Cubs, you know. They took them out that year, but
it was almost a double
championship.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then the Browns. Hopefully, we can.
I mean, I'm telling you, this could be our year here too. So we'll see.
Let me ask you, as a Cleveland Browns fan, how many times have you said that? I wonder who said like Dallas or Cleveland.
I'll take a line from the Cubs fans. There's always next year, right?
There's always next year.
I mean, if there's going to be a year for the Browns, this has got to be it. I mean, I think they're putting all of their eggs in one basket this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I imagine everybody down here has got to be a Saints fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Saints fan, Drew Brees fan. There's been a growing Devin Booker movement.
Okay.
Booker's from here.
Interesting.
Well, not originally, but he went to school in Moss Point. which is just east of here. His dad lived in Ocean Springs, not too far from here, actually. There's a neighborhood called The Promenade, which is where he lived, and he sent his son to play at Moss Point High, not in Ocean Springs.
Okay.
So his dad, Melvin, played for Mizzou. And then I think the Rockets and the Warriors, and then went and played, had a really long career in Europe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so the folks I was out to lunch with today, apparently there was a big Alabama-LSU kind of rivalry going on. But I was surprised to know that, like, nobody was talking about Ole Miss, because we're in Mississippi here. It seems like it was just Alabama and just LSU. Is that the case?
Yeah, no. There's so I'm a Mississippi State fan personally. And there's a great in-state rivalry, but the SEC rivalry that's really huge is Alabama and LSU. And I mean, I could care less for either team, honestly.
People are passionate about their college football down here. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, somebody said to me today, they're like, yeah, I was just walking by and some guy yelled to somebody else randomly in Walmart, like, Roll Tide, you know, because they saw them wearing some other, you know, team. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of this weird phenomenon, you know, in the Southeast. If you're wearing some sort of SEC school, it's likely that somebody else, if they have some sort of SEC memorabilia on from a different school, they're probably going to say something to you.
Oh, it's the same in Ohio.
Yeah.
You wear an Ohio State shirt, they give you the Go Bucks.
Yeah.
Or all of a sudden they're making the OH, and you're supposed to complete the IO after that. So,
oh, is that a thing?
that's a chant at the stadium.
Nice.
So in the stadium, if you go to the games, you probably even hear it on TV. They section it off and do the OHIO in the different sections of the stadium, and it just gets really loud. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those. That's kind of like one of the. What am I trying to say? One of the sort of classic stadiums in like college sports, you know, like
for sure
you can think of
the Horseshoe.
Of, yeah. And it's a big stadium. It's like, what, 60,000?
I'm going to say a little bit more than that, maybe.
Really?
Maybe,
okay.
Yeah, somewhere around there. They keep adding new seats. So
nice.
Apparently there's room to add seats always.
Yeah, well, look, as long as the outcome is income.
Yeah, right? For sure. I mean, talking about events, I mean, we've done some really cool ones with Wall. We were a sponsor of the Great American Beer Festival for a period of time.
Go on.
And, you know, this is the festival at the Denver Convention Center where all the craft beers show up from around the country, and they judge them. You know, you get a gold medal, silver medal, bronze medal, and the whole convention center is divided up by region of the country.
Okay.
And so the interesting thing is, I mean, this event, I think there's 50,000 people that come to this in 3 days. It sells out in 2 minutes. And so when you get to the actual convention center, I mean, there's a line probably wrapped around the entire block, right? So when they open it up, people just fly in there. They are
like a Black
running.
Friday sale.
Yeah. And so I, after doing the event for a few years, I knew, you know, they weren't going to come to us for a good half hour, right? They want to get to their beers that they want to try, and they just kind of want to hang out. You know, give it about 30, 40 minutes. They've had a couple beers. They start wandering over.
Loosening
and
up.
And the really cool thing was, outside of beer and food, we were the only sponsor there that had something to do.
Yeah.
And so it got pretty interesting toward the end of the night, where the guys would just basically let you trim whatever you wanted. There was a lot of monkey tails being trimmed.
Hell yeah.
I imagine a lot of people woke up that next day and looked in the mirror and said,
I regret
nothing. It was a good night at the Great American Beer Festival.
You know, I saw in Ocean Springs downtown, and it might be opening soon while you're down here, but Tato Nut. Has anyone told you about Tato Nut?
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's an award-winning donut, but it's not. It's more than a donut. So it's made from potatoes, and it's the most fluffy, amazing donut. It's a staple in Ocean Springs. It's known certainly throughout the state. It's won awards nationally. Anyway, I was walking out of there one day, and I got into my car with a wife. And what's gotten popular down here are mullets with kids.
Okay, with kids,
with
interesting.
Kids. Yeah, high school kids. And I was staring at this kid, and I thought, like, I was just sitting in the car. She's like, are you going to turn the car on? And I was like, no, I think I'm going to go tell that kid how good his mullet looks. Like, I was just so impressed, thrown away by just, like, the business in the front part, in the back, like, nice trimmed on the sides. I mean, just a really good looking mullet, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Sif lib, the short in front, long in back.
Yeah. Oh, is that what they called up north?
That's what we called it back in the day. Now, if they could just bring back the 80s heavy metal music to go with that,
Give me some Whitesnake.
Yeah.
Give me some Lionheart.
All that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I mean, let's bring back the 80s a little bit here. Yeah. You know, when people talk about bringing back the 80s, it's usually, you know, with the colors and all that. But I'm talking about the heavy metal type.
Throw a synthesizer in there too, maybe, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Every once in a while.
But, you know, the problem is they were all clean shaven.
That's true.
You know, it might be bad for business for Wall if we go back to the 80s.
That's true. But if you have a mullet, aren't you supposed to wear a mustache with that, though?
Handlebar or something. I'm talking Kenny Powers, you know, like.
Yeah, you
had a mustache, right? I think
you
did.
Yeah, you got to go handlebar mustache with the mullet.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You got to bro it up.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I might just have to shave the. I'm going handlebar mustache at our next event.
Okay.
You gave me some inspiration here.
Excellent. Excellent. That's just, so my wife's parents, they traveled around the Southeast, and they were in an 80s hair metal band, and they had, so my wife's mom, I think, made all the outfits. And it was, you know that movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole thing where, like, Jennifer Aniston, you know, cut underwear out of this person so they wouldn't have visible underwear lines. Yeah, she was like that kind of person, you know, just a part of the band. But they opened for Foghat. Oh, that was their big thing.
Move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So impressive.
And they traveled all over the Southeast, but they still play once in a while. And I'm sure you noticed there's a lot of music influence down here in South Mississippi as well. So
yeah,
a lot of bands that play out and whatnot. I'm sure there's going to be some tomorrow at the Red, White, and Blueberry Festival.
Yeah.
So are you excited about that?
I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, you know, they got free ice cream with blueberries, so, mm-hmm, you know, can't beat that.
Yeah, it's a really great event. Highlights the start of the blueberry season. And, of course, it's just another great event that the Chamber of Commerce helps put out there. And shout out to Cynthia Dobson and you know, all the work that she does out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, when we were looking for an event to do down here, you know, I couldn't believe how many festivals you guys had down
here.
Yeah,
it's outrageous.
I mean, it seems like there's just so many, maybe one a month, which is cool. I mean, it seems like it really helps promote local business and gets people down here. They were telling me about the art festival that draws 200,000 people in November.
Yeah, shuts down downtown. Yeah.
Which, after being in Ocean Springs, I can't believe, or downtown, I can't believe you can fit 200,000 people down there. We probably can't, but, you know, they make it work.
They make
right?
it work. Yeah, yeah, shoulder to shoulder. But it's so great, man, because there's a great history out here. You know, there was descendants of a famous artist, Walter Anderson, Peter Anderson, they're all from this area, right? And in fact, Twisted Anchor Tattoo, which is owned by Matt Stebley, he's a descendant of that family, and he makes some absolutely amazing artwork. And that tattoo shop that kind of had a hard time opening up down there because people didn't want a tattoo parlor in downtown Ocean Springs, but if you walk in, and you should, it's an art studio.
Okay.
I mean, it's really dedicated art. He's been to Milan. He's been all over the world for his work, but that artist wanted to paint about a hurricane. So what do you do? Well, you have to get that experience. He tied himself to a tree during a hurricane.
Wow.
So that's you know, the sort of hardiness of people down here dedicated to that kind of art. So
I wonder how that went.
Well enough. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine, honestly. Y'all don't have hurricanes up there in Ohio.
No, we don't. And I mean, I feel for you guys every time I see one coming down here. It's just it's got to be just a scary time when you see that coming.
Yes and no, because there's also hurricane parties where people just get together and they just drink throughout the hurricane and just wait for it to be over. So
yeah.
Do you know what the number one purchase thing is during at Walmart during a hurricane?
I mean, I want to say bottled water, but
yeah, no.
Beer?
No. Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, right? Who'd have thunk it?
So when they see one that's maybe on the way, I mean, is there like an influx delivery of Pop-Tarts, or are they just get, that's the first thing cleared out?
I'm not sure, but here's something else. There's something called a Waffle House Index that FEMA uses, and it's based on when they should order evacuations based on when the Waffle House closes down, because the Waffle Houses stay open the longest for an impending hurricane. That's, look it up. Look it up.
That is funny.
Yeah. It's a real thing. But yeah, so what's some exciting things that, like, tell me about the wall equipment, about the wall tools there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have, I think the real cool thing, one of them is the lithium ion technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these lithium ion at home trimmers and now professional trimmers have 4 or 5 times the runtime of the old trimmers. I mean, I can remember back in 2007, 2008, when we would do these events before lithium ion technology came about, I'd have to charge like 30 of these things to last throughout a festival day.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the lithium ion technology, we just put the same 3 or 4 trimmers out there. We charge them maybe once on a lunch break, and they're good all day. So that's one huge advantage. And then, you know, we've got some cool new technology. You know, sometimes in the past, like, you put a guard on, mm-hmm. and it's kind of flimsy, it breaks. Wall's got some great new stainless steel guards that are 35% stronger, so those aren't going to break. And did I tell you about the Manscaper?
No, but do tell.
Okay, so we've got a brand new Manscaper out, and it's specifically made for below the belt.
Sure.
And the cool thing is it's got these rounded guards, and I think there's 20 different settings on it, so you can feel comfortable when you're trimming around down.
Look,
there.
I'm not going to beat around the bush, no pun intended, but it's dangerous. It's a dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game, and I think that's you know, that's why they wanted to make this trimmer specifically geared toward this. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when I was talking about earlier, a lot of guys afraid to trim their beard because they were going to either nick or you know, something wouldn't look right. I mean, multiply that times 10 downstairs, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Not always the most even landscape, you know. There's a lot you got to navigate.
Yeah,
for sure.
So they were committed to making a product that would be, you know, guaranteed nick-free, and with these rounded guards and the different settings, I mean, you can rest assured that you'll be okay with this wall Manscaper.
How do you if you're managing this research and development team to develop this, how do you take conversations about that seriously? It's kind of hard to give feedback, like, yeah.
And are there models that kind of show up? I'm not exactly sure how it goes.
Yeah, no, and they got to sign a waiver, like, you know, it can't be a cheap thing, you know, to try and, you know, work out the kink, so to speak.
That is true. I'm gonna have to get some background information on the engineering and how this all went. One of our master barbers who travels with the Wall team works at Wall in his innovation center, and he's been a master barber for 35 years, and he's got a variety of patents that he works on, and he has a really cool job because, you know, obviously he's a barber, but he's working to make these tools better. So he comes out and he talks to me. His name's Ben Phillips. Shout out to Ben. And he's got his own barbershop in Sterling, Illinois, where Fresh Cuts, where Wall is. And
yeah.
He's always telling me about how they, you know, they're working to make the technology better, and, you know, the engineers come to him for advice, and it's pretty interesting how it all gets done.
Yeah.
And then while, you know, when COVID hit, I mean, Walls, you couldn't find a wall trimmer, you couldn't find a wall clipper, you couldn't find anything. I mean, I think at one point during a specific day or a week, Wall was selling products as fast as like spaghetti was going off the shelves. So it was an insane time, that's for sure.
Yeah, I bought my my wall trimmer for my beard, you know.
Yeah.
Around that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a wall set that I have for my hair, which I intended to learn how to cut my own hair. I didn't. My wife will use it to put the hard part in, but because that's about what I'm limited to. And then I've got one for my animals too, and they've got a great line of products for pets as well.
Oh yeah, you yeah. Know? There's a whole pet products line. They make sheep shears, horse clippers, I mean, going back to what you were saying earlier, I actually started cutting my kids' hair, and which I had never done before. And so they made it, you know, the wall clippers made it super easy for that. You know, it took a little bit of time. I think the harder part was using the scissors, you know, trying to figure out the top. The sides and back, that's just so easy with the clippers, but trying to figure out how to blend it in and get the top right on the kids, that was a challenge. But now I still do it. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's, you know, I say, all right, I have three boys at home, and it's like they know haircutting day. I set up the whole barber shop in the living room, put the sheet down and everything, and yeah, I'll let them watch, you know, pick a show out. So it's kind of a whole morning activity.
Well, it's, I mean, first of all, when you buy one of these products, you're obviously buying an American-made, well-engineered product, right? That comes from a great company. As you said, four generations, right? 100-year-old company.
That's right.
Right. Yep. So you're buying something that's very much American, right? And then you're getting it for a great price. I mean, honestly, so the first trimmer that I bought was the one that I use for my animals, and it wasn't a wall. And man, that thing, like, I don't cut my, you know, the hair on my animals very much, and it lasted maybe 9 months, a year tops, but I want to say about 9 months. And then I got the wall, and I've had that for like 8 years. You know, it's been great.
Yeah, they make
it
great products.
It feels solid. Like, there's no play in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's balanced.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you get with American-made products, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's just a quality product. I mean, the really cool thing being on the road is I get to talk to people about their experience, and it's almost like a nostalgia thing. I mean, these older gentlemen will come up, 60, 70 years old, and they know wall right away, because back in the day, you know, in the 50s, their mom was cutting their hair with the wall. Yeah. And then the shocking part is I hear people say that they still have the same wall that they were using back in the 60s, and it still works. So it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I mean, that's just, I don't know, things were just made differently back then, you know, and it's interesting because they were made with less precision than they are today typically, and they somehow last better, you know?
Yeah. And so I'm trying to make that transition for these older guys. Hey, you know, I like the fact that your trimmer or your clipper still works from the 50s, but maybe it's time to shift into that, you know, that new technology.
You got to match like the things that feel right. Right. So it's obviously going to be smoother and more balanced, but somehow make it sound like the old one.
Yeah.
You know, like that'll be like, oh yeah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've made some really cool advancements. I mean, they have this vacuum trimmer where it sucks all the hair up, so there's no mess at the sink. You know, I can't think of something worse than, you know, especially my wife, you know, she hates seeing those little hairs all over the sink. So that was a cool product they had where it was like, you know, you just kind of empty the tray out, no mess, walk away.
Yeah. I've got a real appreciation for that because I've got a wood shop. And so I've got a dust collection system. So as I cut the wood, it, you know, all the sawdust gets collected, and I don't have to worry about sweeping up and everything. So, yeah, I've got a deep appreciation for that. Yeah, that's super beneficial.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Because you got to share the sink with your wife and everything, and share the bathroom. So
yeah, and even if not, I mean, just I don't want to have a bunch of hair everywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, I kind of want it to be clean. So, yeah, for sure. Well, so this and forgive me. Jonathan was his name?
Jonathan Brannon is our local winner.
Okay.
And so he's going to be out there tomorrow. And we're going to capture the whole event and our booth on film, because we're actually doing another contest this year.
Okay.
And so all the film that we're taking is going to be used to promote our new contest. And so that's going to start in July, and I think run through somewhere around the end of August. So guys, again, with great beards, will have their opportunity to submit their video for the second World's Most Talented Beard Contest. So if you're listening out there, get that beard growing, get it prepped.
Yeah.
Think of why you're talented, and get that video ready. And all the information should be on the Wall USA website.
Excellent.
Probably starting in July and in August. So at Wall Grooming is our Twitter handle. We're always tweeting about these contests. And it's going to be awesome to see who's going to be our next winner.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's certainly exciting. Does Wall put out content like on their website about like sort of beard care and whatnot as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you can find videos on how to cut your own hair, how to trim your own beard, you know, when to use certain products. And the whole, obviously the list of grooming products that, that you can buy online is there. So it's a good tool. I think they have a YouTube page where they discuss on how to, Ben Phillips, that master barber who I was telling you about, he's got a bunch of videos up there. So
okay.
Yeah. So they make it really easy if you want to do it yourself these days, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, talk to me about some of the, what'd you call wet
the
products.
Wet goods.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does somebody need to know about about their beard in terms of like products to put in it?
Well, we have a beard wash, you know, I mean, the beard, the hair on your face is different from the hair on your head. You know, it's a lot grainier. And so you want kind of the right wash to use. And so, you want to kind of soften the beard up, you know, it gets kind of thick and it's kind of tough. So the beard softener is a great thing to use. And then if you add just a touch of beard oil on the beard, it kind of gives it a nice shine.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the balm is used for styling. So if you want to turn that handlebar mustache up,
there you go.
You know, you got to get a little balm in there.
Yeah.
Got to work it in there. And so you can kind of get that beard the way you want it.
Nice.
You know, for somebody like Jonathan, it's kind of easier to do. If you got a short beard like me, I don't know if I'm doing much styling with this
right,
one.
Right, right.
But, you know, I like having the short beard, especially summertime. Just kind of makes it nice and easy. And, you know, I actually use a wall trimmer on my head, too.
Okay.
I've found that I like it a little bit shorter, and the beard trimmers will cut shorter than the hair clipper. So,
okay.
So I love the beard trimmer on the head, too.
Yeah, I don't. My beard's not long enough to do any sort of styling, but I do have these errant beard hairs that kind of come out, you know, throughout the day. And so I need to find a product that I can kind of put into it just to kind of keep it nice and uniform and down.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the balm is good for that because you can kind of push it whatever way you want. Yeah. And, you know, that softener will soften it up a little bit. But I'd recommend the balm for styling for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, Justin, so we'll be able to catch you tomorrow at the Red, White, and Blueberry Festival down there in downtown Ocean Springs, right?
That's right. Come on out. Yeah, like I said, we're offering free beard and mustache grooming. If you're around town, you got that beard, take a day off from doing it yourself. Let our master barber show you how to do it. And like I said, it goes to a great cause, $100. Wall will make the donation to 1720, that organization that helps with adoption. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Okay, well, again, Justin, look, thanks for stopping by, man. You know, it's been great to talk to you and great to talk about Wall and, of course, the Red, White, and Blueberry Festival. And, yeah, man, wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. We'll see you. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I certainly did. And if you want to follow more and hear more, you can check us out on any of the major podcasting platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, everything. You can also follow us on social media. I've got a YouTube channel, so search for Shop and Chivalry. Subscribe there. We also have Instagram. Just look for Shop and Chivalry. Twitter at Shop and Chivalry and Facebook.com/Shop and Chivalry. You can also shoot us an email at administration@shopandchivalry if you'd like to be on the show or suggest somebody or give more direct feedback. You can also find that link on our website, shopandchivalry.com, where I have all of my ramblings about the show, what the show means to me, that particular episode. I've got a blog, other media on there as well as embedded players. So you can play the shows and the videos for those that have video as well. So again, thank you for all the love. I appreciate all the feedback. It's been wonderful. I'm having a great time. And much love. All right. See you.